in the program, you heard about how building modular houses could take pressure off the housing crisis. But when it comes to existing stock, are you willing to sacrifice your house to downsize, to help others live the dream that you had? And if this is something you've looked at, you might have realised it's not as simple as just leaving your nice big family home. Downsizing might also mean leaving your friends, your GP, the neighbourhood that you love, all things that are really important as we get older. And even though people sometimes think downsizing means cashing a big property check, that is not always the case. So how can we make it easier for Australians to downsize, and would it actually help the housing crisis? Tell me about your life. If you've downsized, what was it like? Or if you haven't, what's stopping you? With me is Lauren Jones, a buyer's agent in Brisbane who works with people looking to downsize. Dr. Michael Fotheringham, CEO of the Australian Housing and Urban Research Institute. And Estelle Holmes, who downsized from her four-bedroom house on Queensland's Gold Coast a few years ago. Estelle, I might start with you. Tell me what prompted your move.
Good morning, Tegan. Well, it was a couple of things, to be honest. The housing boom was in full flight. I didn't have any debt, but I was running short of funds, and I saw an opportunity. Also, I was not that enthusiastic about doing all the work that I was in a four-bedroom, two-bathroom house with a garden and so on. So I made the decision to downsize.
It sounds like a no-brainer, you know, cash in some money and that sort of thing. But it was a hard decision for you because it was full, your house was full of precious items and they weren't going to fit in a small home.
Absolutely. It was actually overwhelming. However, I did enlist the services of a downsizer or a right sizer. And that was absolutely life-changing because she came along and we, through lots of tears, and my being overwhelmed with the process, she took me by the hand, basically, and walked me through the whole process. And she actually said at one stage, which made an enormous difference to me, Estelle, I am going to be always here with you. I will not leave you. We will see this through. And that actually was life-changing for me. I felt like I had a super cape on. I felt like I jumped the moon. And that's exactly what I did.
Well, with me, as I said before, is Lauren Jones, a buyer's agent in Brisbane, not a downsizing or right-sizing expert, but definitely someone who's involved in people making this move. Lauren, when you're talking to people who are looking at downsizing, what are they typically looking for?
I like to think that there's generally two different types of downsizers. So the first one, they tend to be about in their 50s, and that's once, you know, the kids have just moved out and they're just looking for that next home. Generally, this isn't their forever home. They're still very capable of things like stairs, swimming pools, a bit more garden maintenance. And then I find the second types of downsizers are those looking for their forever home. Oftentimes, you know, they're in the 60s, potentially the 70s. They tend to want low-set homes, low maintenance. They generally don't want pools, unless, of course, they want the kids to, or the grandkids to still be able to come over for a swim. And stairs really becomes a big issue as well. So I find, yeah, very different types of downsizers.
And are they able to find what they need, especially if you're living in an old suburb with mostly big homes?
I find, so that first age bracket, the 50s, I find yes, because they're generally still looking for houses. They've generally got the budget to be able to afford that same location that they've always grown up in. They've got, you know, the kids are still probably nearby. They've still got all their friends, GPs, things like you spoke before. I find yes. I find the older age bracket, you know, the 60s, 70s, that can be a little bit of a struggle. Oftentimes they're looking in very different locations. I find that 60s, 70s age bracket as well. A lot of the time the kids have moved away, whether that be interstate or down by the bay, and I find it's quite a big lifestyle change for them as well. It's a difficult process either way though, because buying and selling at the same time, especially when you're doing it simultaneously, it's very hard to buy another property with a subject to sale clause in it. I've seen properties, you know, the highest offer might be $50,000 more, but it's got a subject to sale clause in it. And the the sellers of that property simply won't take that offer. So it can be very difficult. We're also in a bit of a housing crisis at the moment as well. So it's not as easy to just, you know, go and rent at least until you can purchase another property or build a home as well. A lot of downsizers at some point in time were building their dream home because it's going to be their forever home, but that's just not an option or doesn't seem like an option for a lot of people at the moment.
Heaps of logistical barriers there. You are listening to Life Matters on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor, hearing from Lauren Jones, who's a buyer's agent in Brisbane. You've also been hearing from Estelle, who recently downsized. And I'm interested to know if you've downsized or you've looked into it. Just tell me what it has been like for you, what barriers you've come across along the way. One person says, we sold our 5-bedroom, 3-living area home and bought a townhouse in the same suburb. Cost was like for like, but now we have a better location. Best decision we've made for many years. I was sick of living with the ghosts of my family all around me on the off chance that they would all be there at the same time and we would need the space. Greg from Ballina says, I've downsized from a 3-bedroom house to a 2-bedroom house with a granny flat at the back. Renting out the granny flat provides housing for another retiree and gives me a small income as I'm short on superannuation. Also with me is Dr. Michael Fotheringham from the Australian Housing and Urban Research Institute. Michael, as it just has turned out, we've got Lauren and Estelle both here from Southeast Queensland. What's the picture across Australia?
It's pretty similar to what we've been hearing. I mean, I think Estelle's story really captures a lot of the decision-making that's involved in this. It's often triggered by people wanting to reduce the amount of maintenance they need to do in what's an increasingly empty home. And looking for something a bit easier to maintain is often the first starting point. There's the financial dimension to it, and people often assume that by selling a family home and buying a smaller property, they'll end up with a lot of extra cash. But actually, because they're typically buying something newer and selling something that's been lived in for quite some time, it comes out as more or less neutral in terms of cost for most people. There's a really big emotional dimension to this too, letting go of the family home. That's hard for the people who are selling, but also for their adult kids who have attachment to the place they grew up. And then there's the reduction of stuff that you need to do. All the things that we accumulate is a real challenge.
I think it's hard if you're a younger person wanting to have a family or you have one and you're looking for somewhere bigger, looking at older generations who are rattling around in big old houses feels unfair. But if everyone who wanted to downsize could, would it actually make that much of a difference to housing supply?
Well, potentially, yes. I mean, if you think about, if we've got all these homes that are built for raising families, they're, you know, they're the larger homes, the 3- and 4-bedroom homes that are intended for families to grow up in. There's a backyard for the kids to run around in if they're not attached to their screens. All the sort of dimensions you think about of the family, traditional family home. If they're being occupied by one or two people who are, you know, largely shut the doors off for a lot of the bedrooms most of the time, that's not making best use of the assets we have. So, you know, from a system perspective, those people moving into dwellings that are more suited to their current needs and having other young families move into those homes makes a big difference. But it's not a simple thing to do.
Is there also a place here for planning changes so that there are perhaps more mixed use across suburbs than just suburbs that are full of big houses and not really somewhere that people could downsize to if they wanted to?
Yeah, this is one of the real challenges. We tend to build large areas of suburban homes, you know, traditional suburban homes, 3- and 4-bedroom homes, and don't have that mixture of dwelling type within each local area. And many people who are downsizing want to do so in their local area where they know the pharmacy, they know the GP, they've got their, you know, all their social ties to that place. You know, there are others that want a tree change or a sea change or want to move closer to the city, but many people want to do so in their local area. And if there's not available supply that suits their needs, then they're not going to make the move.
Estelle, what went into deciding where to live when you downsized?
I had a picture in my mind that I wanted to live by the bay. And I had really targeted Cleveland area. So I had a focus and I started, before I sold my home, which didn't take very long to sell, by the way, it was only a matter of a few weeks, I had found an apartment and I could see the potential in it, and I had also been involved in doing some renovations previously in my lifetime, and I purchased an apartment that was size right for me, and I completely refurbished it for my needs, and I absolutely love it.
That's so lovely to hear, Estelle. Lauren, just listening to Estelle's story, it's reminding me that you've noticed a gender split in your clients. Tell me about what you see across genders.
Yeah, I find a lot of the time, so we work with a lot of women who oftentimes they've left a marriage and they come to us because they're looking for that next home. I find most of the time they're looking for either a townhouse or a unit. I think there's a few parts to that too. I think a lot of the times they're not prepared to do all the garden maintenance on their own. And I think safety becomes a real issue as well, especially if you've been in a relationship for majority of your life and then all of a sudden you're on your own. So, yeah, I find that split definitely tends to happen, whereas I find a lot of our downsizers, single males, they tend to still be quite keen on having a house. You know, they want a shed where they can tinker in. So I find the dwelling type of males versus females is very different.
This is Life Matters on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor speaking to Lauren Jones, a buyer's agent in Brisbane, Dr. Michael Fotheringham from the Australian Housing and Urban Research Institute, and Estelle Holmes, who recently downsized, about downsizing. Lauren, a text says, saying, this lady is spot on. I think they're talking about you. We're in our 80s. It took 3 homes to get it right. We finished up building, but it was very hard to trade my piano for a keyboard. We went from 4 bedrooms in Melbourne to 2 bedrooms in Sale, no stairs, small garden. And a question for you, Michael. Greg says, with downsizing, a major disincentive is stamp duty on the smaller home. It reduces the funds left over, if any. It's often cheaper not to move until forced to by age. Is this something we need to reconsider?
Our stamp duty is definitely a barrier to mobility in our housing system right across the board, not just for downsizers, but for people, you know, who are looking to move location for employment or need a larger home as their family grows. You know, it certainly is a barrier to people moving around the system more, so is an inefficiency in our system. There is a better way to do it, you know, an annual land tax model where people don't pay stamp duty up front but pay an annual land tax is a better model. It's the transition to that that's the problem.
Is this a bit of a snake eating its own tail, Michael? I'm thinking about people who have older children, adults, who want to buy a house but they can't afford to, and perhaps if there was more larger houses available, then they would be able to buy a house but they can't, and mum and dad can't sell the house because their kids haven't moved out yet. Is it just a sort of a bit of a self-fulfilling thing?
Well, yeah, it is actually, yes. So you know, we have a largely stuck system, and you know, the Greg's point about stamp duty being a barrier is a big part of the problem. It's a big part of the lack of ability for people to move around from house to house to meet their needs. You know, whether it's around family size or their other, you know, work and education commitments, we should have a system that allows more mobility for people to move houses more often to meet their needs. But we are a bit locked into this system. And you know, it's widely recognised that this is a problematic tax system. The challenge is for state governments, it's a big source of revenue, and turning off that tap in favour of a more gradual annual land tax, which is a much smaller amount per household, is very difficult for state budgets to accommodate.
Lauren, you're not a policy person, but the sorts of anecdotes that you're hearing from the people that you're working with, are there things that you've gone, gosh, if we just change the system a bit, this would make a big difference?
I'm very much in agreement on the annual land tax as opposed to the stamp duty, but I understand the issues around that. But I think that's such a big part of why people don't downsize, is because it is so expensive. I met with a lady just the other day, and she's looking to downsize from about a $2.5 million home to about a $2 million home. And in that process, it'll cost her about $150,000 to $200,000 just to downsize. So I'm seeing a lot of people like that, and I find in some instances, it can actually be quite sad, because especially that kind of older generation, they essentially wait until the home becomes a hazard, and that's when they sell the home. Which, I mean, if there was that land tax instead of the stamp duty, they might move out before issues like that come about.
Michael, there's a new report into housing that says that there's a big mismatch between who lives in our homes and the kind of homes we're building. Talk to me about this mismatch.
Well, you know, these days, more than half of Australian households are one or two person households. You know, the average household size is just over 2 people per household, but more than half are one and two person households. But we continue to build freestanding houses much more than we build apartments or townhouses. And those are typically 3 and 4 bedroom houses. So you know, we're continuing to build for the large households we had 100 years ago, while in fact we need much smaller dwellings. And that leads to a real inefficiency in the way our cities operate. We're travelling larger distances as we use this sort of very low density form of housing in Australia. You know, at the moment, for every apartment that we build, not every apartment building, but for every individual apartment, we build 6 freestanding houses. And that's, you know, as our current new builds, doesn't reflect the changing shape of our households. So we need to sort of adapt to and rethink our approach to what does good housing look like.
There's so many texts coming through from you. Mary says, my parents downsized to an apartment by the river. Lovely for them. The hitch was I was renting the apartment next door. So at 30 years old, I found myself sharing a bedroom wall with my parents. Not so fun. Another person saying stamp duty is a real killer. One says, I've been toying with this idea for several years now and was misguidedly working on a changeover cost of around $40,000 to $60,000. I was corrected by someone in the know that it would be more like $100,000. There's an awful lot I could do with that $100,000 in hand. Lauren, what do people need to know about this to go in with their eyes open?
See, that's something I see a lot as well, is people see, you know, this is going to cost me $100,000. I may as well put that into the property and make it, you know, I could put a ramp in or something like that to make the home more functional. But the problem is that they don't actually have that $100,000 in cash. They only get access to that $100,000 when they sell the home. So,
yeah, it's really tricky. Michael?
Well, that's right. I mean, it's equity rather than cash in hand. So, yes, that's really challenging. And, yes, I think getting advice on the likely costs is a good first step.
Estelle, you've moved into an apartment. It sounds like it's been a really positive experience for you. Is there anything that you go, this is what I'm telling all of my friends when I'm sitting down for coffee? What advice are you giving them?
If they are thinking about downsizing, I would truly recommend it. For me, it's been my first foray into community living, which does have its challenges sometimes. However, I am very fortunate where I live. It's been a very good change.
Well, it sounds like you really hit the jackpot, Estelle. Thank you so much for sharing your story this morning. And thanks as well to Lauren Jones, a buyer's agent in Brisbane who works with people looking to downsize, and Dr. Michael Fotheringham, CEO of the Australian Housing and Urban Research Institute. And I've loved your stories this morning. One text says, I gave birth to my daughter in my home, and she gave birth to her daughter here too. It is a home for generations and frequently all beds are filled. I have friends who visit often. I can't see myself downsizing. I looked at it some time ago and the apartment with the services that I wanted was twice the price of what I could get for my house. Another text says, our recent downsizing experience was great. We're both in our late 70s. We found our home was too large to cope with. We've been able to make a good downsizer contribution to our super while staying in our community.
Stream any ABC radio station live and on the go. Discover new podcasts, music and audiobooks, all free on the ABC Listen app.